Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear a hundred goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Thank you, Elvis, and thank you, Neil Diamond, for writing that beautiful song. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallan.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N. You can also follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. And please join the tweet chat that's called Dad Chat. That's the hashtag or the number sign followed by Dad Chat. It's every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 to 9 p.m. Coast Time and 9 to 10 p.m. East Coast Time. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we are talking about the fact that everybody hurts. The column and topic of the show inspired by that great REM song. And I wonder what you might want to offer with the idea of empathy and understanding other people have problems just like you and I do.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, this thought that everybody hurts. We have our world views based on what we do and where we live and how we were brought up. So I'm in this business of helping guys figure things out. And so when they come to me, they're hurting. And I wonder, is everybody hurting? Really? Do I have a view on men that is narrow because of the work I do? And of course, you know, I sometimes have that doubt, and then I run into men who are not doing the work at Chamber of Commerce functions or whatever, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I see it in all of their faces. So my sense is that there's a lot of it, and there are some fortunate people who don't hurt as much. Have a lot more support. Families are solid. Examples from their parents were really solid.
Or they get the help that you provide and they get over it. I mean, I'm a prime example, frankly. I came to you at a pivotal point in my life, went up and down over the years in the group that I was in for so many years with you, and I hit a low point. And together with your support and the men, that was turned around to a point where I am as happy or content in my life as I've ever been.
Well, we have some successes, you know, when we help each other. The tough part is that people usually don't ask for help until they...
People?
All people.
I just know how you don't like that word sometimes.
Well, when we're talking about men, I'll say men.
Okay.
But people usually wait a long time. They're swimming in their sorrow and pain and frustration and isolation for a long time before they reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite a challenge, you know, to get out of that place. And I think the best piece of advice is if you're not feeling good and it's going on for a bit longer than you're comfortable with, that's a good time to ask for help. You don't have to be at the end of your rope. When you're at the end of your rope, it takes a lot of unearthing to get down to the sort of the crux of the matter. And you're much better off asking for help early on.
Well, I know that one of the big things that you believe in, and of course I agree with, is that men more often than not will bury those feelings, will have a sense of shame or embarrassment about speaking up about being depressed or sad when maybe on the surface they shouldn't have any reason to be. So why would you think, do you think that that is a possibly more of a male trait than a female trait to resist getting help?
Well, I don't.
Or is it? Do you agree?
I don't think we're socialized. You know, my focus is men. We're certainly not socialized to ask for help. It's becoming a bit more acceptable now. There are executive coaches. There have been executive coaches for years. Now there's a coach for everything. You know, whatever you want to do, there's a coach out there. And so it's becoming a bit more acceptable. But around mental health, depression, and all that, you know, it's easier just to go to your doc and get some meds and sort of feel like you're done with it.
I know you resist at times meds as the solution. Do you want to elaborate at all, or do you want to go in a different direction?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that my point is not about meds being good or bad. just that if you have a problem, you want to find the solution to the problem. If you're immobilized in your life, medication can get you out of that place, but you need to engage in a process that's going to figure out what led you to that. What's the pain all about? What can you do differently? What do you need to change in your life to be happier at home, as a father, as a husband? So, but I think what happens is that men are ashamed. They have shame around what's bothering them, the fact that anything is sort of holding them back, that they're not, you know, they haven't reached the station in life that they had thought they should have by now. And they get depressed, and they take some medication, and it takes the edge off, but it doesn't really drive them to solve the problem. And so I still think we have to battle that. And as you know, the new nonprofit that we're building, Connect the Men, is about making men's groups more available all over the country. Because guys have to know that it's a good thing, it's an easy thing to get into, and they can get a lot of benefit. But again, it's just not something that our culture talks about, supports, has seen in generations. So we've got our work cut out for us.
You just said a word that actually prompts another question, which is generations. You and I are, to a degree, in a sandwich generation where our generation is learning to reach out for help, is maybe on the cusp of all these different and improving and changing gender roles, whereas our parents, of course, didn't, and our kids are now growing up in these changing worlds and roles. Do you have any thoughts about just the generational differences in this regard?
Yeah, it beats me. It's confusing, isn't it?
yes, it sure is.
What to do? I think human nature is still human nature. We've talked about this before. Music changes and trends come and go, but human nature is still human nature.
You know, that really is true. Every now and then I sometimes think that we have discovered something new about people, you know, regarding love, regarding sex, regarding parenting. And yes, there are facets that are new, but the core of who we are and what we're all about is not really changed.
And what is presented as new is really just reformulated very ancient wisdom.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
What's new about sexuality? I mean, whatever's been done for a long time. But, you know, we have relegated it to the shadow, and we've called it bad, and we are repressed, and then it comes back in the new package and go, wow, look at that. We can do that? Yeah, we can do that. I mean, just even the whole secret and all the marketing around that, it's, you know, the law of attraction and being connected, it's very old stuff.
Yeah, it gets recycled, as you said, and it's retooled, and every generation likes to think they've discovered the secret, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I think that we so want to find the magic bullet, the magic pill, that we want to be marketed to. We hold out hope that this is the next thing, this next diet, this next plan for success. But really, the work to be happy, to be content, to be spiritually connected, all that stuff has been around a long time. It takes work and commitment, and it doesn't happen overnight, whatever that change is that you want.
But the sooner you start, the better. I know, for instance, that I started a new career less than 3 years ago. And at the beginning of that, I thought, wow, this is such a big mountain I have to climb. But the sooner you start climbing, the sooner you're going to get up towards the top. And I'm amazed at 3 short years later how much progress I've made in that effort and that journey up the mountain. And I'm so glad I didn't stay stuck in my own, you know, head.
Yeah. It's easy to get discouraged. That's one of the reasons why men's groups are so important, and not just when you're in crisis. It's important to have those kinds of relationships in your life because every time you stretch, you risk failing, falling short, getting discouraged, having doubt and fear. And so you want that support. And in our circles, the men remind each other who they are because we forget who we are when we get discouraged.
The other point that I think is very interesting, we're out of time, by the way, but the other thing that I think is really interesting is by having that support in place, not necessarily when you're in crisis. If something does happen that is in crisis, you've got that support in place rather than struggling in a crisis mode?
Well, that is so key, because when you desperately need the relationships, if you have not taken the time to build them, they won't be there for you.
Enough said, enough said. We are out of time. Quickly, where can my listeners find you, Wayne?
Well, they can find me, I'm putting on a happy voice now, this is such a heavy topic, at bettermencoaching.com, and get a copy of my book, For the Men in Your Life. What a great Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and Christmas gift.
That indeed. I can vouch for it. Thank you, Wayne. We'll talk with you not next week. We are off for Thanksgiving. We have a special show, so that will be next week, and I'll talk with you in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too, Bruce.
Okay, we will be back for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew. Stay tuned.